All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Reminder coming up after the show today. I'll just tell you right now, 2 o'clock, we will be downstairs in the parking lot, 7000 Squibb Road, right here, 96.5. Got some more t-shirts, another 100 t-shirts to give away. And I actually think it's pretty fitting for what the shirts are. The shirts are playoff themed. We didn't come this far just to come this far. And boy, I would say that that is fitting for today because we know the Royals face elimination if they do not come out with a win this evening and send this series to the Bronx. So, I mean, that shirt, I mean, I hope
seems appropriate.
It does it not? So we'll be out there. One shirt per person in your car, max of two people. We'll see you guys after the show downstairs.
You're saying that like you're not going to enforce that rule.
I'm told. I have to say that part.
Oh, okay. But it doesn't sound like you mean it.
You, Drew, and I are going to be handing out the shirts. So I'm just saying, like, if we're the ones handing it out and someone has a third person in the car, you know, you'll get a third shirt possibly. Just saying. Not coming out of my paycheck, you know?
They're not paying you less if you hand out one extra shirt.
Thanks to our friends at DM Injury Law. That's why we have these shirts. So we appreciate their help making this happen.
Okay.
You're rocking a nice, crisp, powder blue. Ooh. If you're watching the video stream. Yeah. I don't know if I've seen you in a Royals jersey.
I don't think I own a Royals jersey until this one.
This one
I don't own a Chiefs jersey either. I just wear, like, shirts.
Now, it's number 7, so I'm like, oh, nice Bobby Wood Jr. jersey. But then the back does not say Bobby Wood Jr.
The back says...
TBAPSB. The boys are playing some ball.
Correct. Last night, maybe not as much, but I'm an optimist. And I refuse to come in, not just because of that. I kind of refuse to come in today and listen to any person who's going to come in here and be like, they stink. They can't win this series. The Yankees are better. They have placed 2 very closely contested games. And unfortunately, they were not the victor in either of those games. They could have won on Saturday. They could have won last night. They lost 2 really close games where the Yankees barely but got the better of them. And as a result of that, they are facing elimination tonight. And we'll have to have some of those guys perform in a way that they haven't so far in the early part of the season. But I'm not down on the Royals. It's been a really, really good series so far. And I told you from the beginning, felt like this series was going 5 games. I still feel like this series is going 5 games. What I'll predict on Saturday, we'll see.
Right.
But I still think the Royals are winning tonight. I still think this series continues after tonight. And the Royals, for all the things they have done great this season, one of them is fight back. They've done great at fighting back. And so I assume they're going to fight back tonight.
They've had 2 long 6-7 game losing streaks in the last month or so. Multiple times people thought the season was over. They were able to bounce back. And so, yeah, this is a group that has had moments where it seemed like it was all going to come crashing down. This, of course, is their biggest test. Duh. They're facing, their season would be over with a loss. Look, how did we get here? Let's start there, and then we can talk about how do they potentially keep this season going? Because I do agree with you that I think it is foolish to sit here and say, oh, it's just done and there's just no chance. I mean, that they look overmatched. No, they don't. No, they don't. But here's how they have gotten here, unfortunately.
2 big things.
It is, number one, and these guys know it. We were in the clubhouse. We talked to them after the game. You'll hear some audio. Bobby Wood Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez are 4-for-37 in this series with 13 strikeouts, a couple walks thrown in. That's the biggest problem. If we're just going to simplify, I know it's not always that simple, but that is how you get eliminated against a really good New York Yankees team. That has to change tonight. It just has to.
Yeah.
I mean, if this team is going to advance and force it back to the Bronx and put all the pressure right back on the Yankees, it can shift just like that. Bobby Wood Jr., Vinny, Salvi, doesn't even have to be all 3 of them. One of those guys at minimum have got to come through tonight. We talked all year about this offense and starting pitching, but about offense, and it was always clear. It's why it was so devastating when Vinny went down with the injury because, like, oh, man, where else are you getting production? And look, we'll give credit to some other guys down in the order, right, that have stepped up in this series. You know, once again, Yuli Gurriel is getting on base. Michael Massey's been incredible this postseason. Those guys have stepped up. But ultimately, the group of 3 of Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi have got to come through tonight. It really, if we can just sum it up, that has to happen.
I agree. I mean, there's no argument for it. They've had a couple of close hits. Hell, if Vinny's liner, which was close to being a single, really nice play by the Yankees defender, kudos to him for making it. that ball goes through, then, well, Salvi has the game-tying hit the next batter. Bobby got on base. Salvi got on base. Vinny put a ball in play that sure looked like it was going to get him on base. So maybe that late inning where they're starting to put the ball in play can make them or can start the beginning of that. And you know that. That's one of the issues. The other one is walks. Many walks. Now, I'll say that that does not deserve no context, which we can get to in just a minute. But yeah, you cannot walk as many hitters as you have. You can't, on average, walk 7 batters a game and then expect that to go well in the end result of the scorecard. They've honestly done a pretty good job of run mitigation based on the number of base runners, based on the number of walks. The Royals have squeezed themselves out of a lot of jams.
Yep.
It's why they haven't been swept, but it's also why they were in the last game and the game before, where the Yankees had better offense, but the Royals did a better job of eliminating it. I've told you on this show, and I think you've said it before, I'm never going to blame the refs or the umpires truly for a loss.
Yeah, I hate that stuff.
This is egregious, and I cannot believe how poorly umpired this series has been in favor of the Yankees. Did I just say that it cost them the game last night? No. Did it have a factor? Hell yes. They had 19. This was according to a online stat form that tracks these things, not Gamecast. John Boy Media sent out the tweet. They had 19 pitches last night that were in the zone. 2 Yankees hitters in the strike zone by the rule that were called balls. 19 gold. That's an egregious number. I'm sorry. The Yankees don't get 17,000 free base runners because they can't call the game right. Matter of fact, the guy who was behind the dish last night rated as a bottom 10 balls and strikes umpire in the league this year. Why the hell is he calling a postseason game? I thought that was for the good ones. He sucks. Put someone else in. And so, like, does it inevitably, will it be the reason they lose this series? No, they got to step up. They got to come through. The pitching has got to be better. Is it annoying as hell that it is clearly being called significantly in favor of the New York Yankees? Yeah, it's kind of ludicrous. Can we get an evenly called game tonight?
I mean, well sure, I hope that's the case. Unfortunately, he will not be behind home plate. I believe the crew chief is actually behind home plate tonight, whoever that is. I believe that that's the rotation. So you won't have him specifically tonight, as we know. To your point on the stat, just for context, the numbers are from Inside Edge. In the zone, but called a ball, 19 for the Royals pitchers, 8 for the Yankees. Out of the zone, but called a strike, 11 for Royals pitchers, 4 for Yankees pitchers. So the Royals got some of the out of the zone, but called a strike benefit. On the flip side, in the zone, but called a ball, of course, the Yankees got more of a benefit. I hear you. It's worth bringing up.
I think it's a reason why they might be walking 70,000 hitters.
That perhaps would be the walk issue, but you know where I'm at on this kind of stuff. It drives me crazy. It just does. I'm not saying we can't ever talk about bad calls and pretend it never has an impact.
Yeah,
of course.
It does have an impact.
It does. It just drives me crazy overall, though. Because what I mentioned to you, and I know you're not ignoring it, but you know, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi going 4 for 37, your trio in the heart of your lineup, that's a much bigger problem than getting 7 more walk calls or strike calls or whatever. You know, is it frustrating? Do we know that officiating in every single sport is a major problem more than ever? Some of it is just because we have all these different easily accessible metrics that the public can get and replay and all that. Sure. All that's true. It was noticeable last night. It's hard for me when I see the other. I get more upset on the official when I think that, let's say in this case, your team played well enough to win and should have won, and you feel like a call stole the game for you. I don't believe that's what happened last night.
No, but
and so that's why I don't. It's not the focus. Trust me, you're not alone. I had multiple people send me graphics of heat charts or whatever. Like, I got the same stuff that you did last night. And I'm not saying that there's not people listening that don't feel exactly how you do. Totally, they do. I just always push back on it because it was not ultimately what cost them the game or games. I'm more pissed still about the replay review in game one. That, to me, was more of an actually maybe costing you the game type of thing than, them getting the benefit of a couple out of the zone, you getting the benefit of a couple that should have been balls that were in the zone, right?
I just, like, when you go back and look at this, There's no way you can tell me that even if there are flaws in the electronic balls and strike systems, that it's worse than this.
Well, I want that too. I want the automated stuff.
We accept a far too great of a variance of this. The problem is not just the one game. It is now for three straight games that three out of the four games, ump scorecards puts it in favorability. They talk about the balls and strike accuracy, how many runs it favors the other team. Three of the four highest run favorability games this postseason are for the Yankees. Like, and I'm not saying, look, I don't have to go deep down the conspiracy thing and be like, well, it's because last year's ratings were bad and they need New York versus LA in the final. If they didn't have that, then they'll do anything to get that. I'm not that far down the rabbit hole, right? I'm not saying that Rob Manfred's on the phone with the league telling the umpires to call it in favor of the Yankees. But there's been three games in this series. It's been a quarter of a run difference for the Yankees in one scorecard. It's been a half a run difference for the Yankees in the other scorecard. And it's been three quarters of a run difference in the final one. It's getting worse somehow, even though in the favorability part, it's been that case. And yeah, last night, that ball might have been fair. Like, I don't know because the camera angles stunk. I went back and looked
at it. Yesterday.
I don't know. That ball might very well have been fair, the one that went in favor of Kansas City. I'm not really sure. It's a 50-50 call, and because they called it foul, few Royals get lucky. I couldn't tell. But when you, like, it cannot be this bad in a postseason game. Do you not have 7, 8, 9 qualified umps?
I know. I just hate this whole conversation.
I know, man. I know you do.
I just hate it, man.
You know because, how long we avoided on the show? I don't bring this up every time. I'm not a ref or up guy. It's just gotten to the point that now I don't think I can ignore it.
I'm more about that when, as I said, the Jazz Chisholm replay review if everything was going right and your star players were hitting at the level they should, and then you feel like you got something taken away from you. That's when I'm pissed. And that to me has not been happening in this series. It doesn't mean mistakes haven't happened with umps. Of course they have. You know, it's why last year when we were talking about Kadarius Toney and people were upset with me because I was saying that needs to learn how to freaking line up on side, and you and others were telling me, but they don't normally call it. And I said, but what do we agree it was the right call? Like,
it was the right call.
Like, and so that kind of, that's just more like we just differ in how we view that. And that's what being a sports fan,
don't call the Juwan Taylor one, but
sure. You know, but at some point it's like, man, if you know that also is how it's being called, if you can say it's not being called that way for the Yankees. That's fair. But like, if that's how they're calling it for you, like I'm always going to be under the belief easier said than done. I'm not a professional baseball player. I obviously,
adjust.
But you know, part of me is like, hey, then maybe you need to adjust. I hate, you know, if the Royals would have won last night, we wouldn't even have brought this up today. And that's where I come at this for a lot of things. I hate bringing it up because it is, to me, loser talk. And this team has had way too good of a season for us to end the year talking about how crappy the umps were to ruin the season. There are a lot of other things that have occurred. Let's get this thing going tonight. And I think in order for them to get going tonight, it's going to take something from Bobby, Salvi, or Vinny. I feel still pretty good about the pitching. I know the walk stuff, but I really do. I mean, it's not like they've been just getting destroyed by Yankees hitters. Stanton's home run off of Chris Bubich, it's not like he laid one down the middle. It was
a ball out of zone.
Back to the same spot. Maybe that was a bad decision, but it was outside the zone, and Stanton crushed the hell out of it. I mean, it was, it happens. Stanton, I mean, we're talking about the New York Yankees. We're talking about the postseason. You know, the cliche, those guys get paid too kind of thing. They get paid a lot more as well. And so
they can pay triple.
You know, it sucks. Trust me. I'm not happy with the result last night. I'm bummed about it. I'm nervous as hell going to the game tonight. But at the same time, I don't think this season is ending tonight because the umpires are calling strikes balls.
Yeah, the Royals are now 3-2 in the postseason. So they have played some good baseball. And again, the two losses are two games they easily could have won. Not because of the umpires, just it was a 6-5 game and it was a 3-2 game last night, in which the Royals played, went toe-for-toe with the Yankees, and unfortunately came up with the bad end of a good game result, right? Everybody played a good baseball game. The two games that they've lost have been highly competitive, down to the edge, final wire baseball games, and the Yankees made more plays in the final three innings than the Royals made plays in the final three innings to get the win. The one thing that gives me, there's lots of things that give me hope, but two obvious ones. What you said about the middle of the order lineup, I can't imagine that there was maybe one or two stretches in the entire season where Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi had this long of a struggle for five consecutive games as a unit. Maybe one time this year. And In five games, they are 3-2, and they have gotten exactly one, I would qualify, above average start from a starting pitcher. Luke was fine last night. Five innings, two earned runs is not going to send me to the hills complaining. It qualifies as the same list as the one before with Reagans, which is, I needed more out of you. If I got more out of you, then the Royals win that game. But I got to think that eventually one of the Royal starters is going to step up, because that goes back to the bounce back ability of this team. That at some points when they have desperately needed a start, someone like Waka tonight has stepped in for this team, pitched six strong innings, pitched seven strong innings, and made something happen for the Royals. I've always thought this series was going five. I still think this series is going five, which means I think they're going to win tonight. But they're going to have to pull out all the, I mean, it's all on the bag now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, everybody's available tonight. It's do or die time. And so whether that is putting Urseg in the fifth inning because it's a high leverage spot and there's nobody out and nobody out and there's two men on, and it's the fifth inning. We've seen it doesn't have to be nobody. It's not the old school defined, oh, he has to pitch the ninth inning, he has to pitch the eighth inning or whatever. No, it's. Especially tonight, if there's a tight spot, fifth, sixth, seventh inning, I don't think it'd be stunning to see Urseg pitch much earlier. Don't worry about who's closing the game out in the ninth. He may not have a save opportunity in the ninth inning because the game's out of reach. You got to keep it within striking distance. Hopefully, right? Ideally, you just jump on him early and you're feeling good. But the way the series has gone is probably going to be very tight in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning. That's the way this whole thing has been going. And the one thing that gives me hope tonight, the biggest thing, even though I've referenced multiple times already the numbers for the big three in the middle of the Royals lineup, is that on Saturday against Gerrit Cole, I felt like they saw him well. They were aggressive. They remember, the first inning, it was only four or five pitches, but they were a couple rockets to one to right field, but a couple rockets off him. They saw the ball well, and they were aggressive. I wonder if that'll be the exact same approach. Gerrit Cole, of course, will make his own adjustments too. But that's what gives me some hope tonight, is that they saw the ball really well off of Gerrit Cole on Saturday.
I just think every game's come down to the wire. They won. The only easy game was the one the Royals won. The other two were, like we just talked about, games that needed a run in the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning in order to make a difference. And so I assume tonight will be another stressful night at the K. And dude, you and I will be worried about it and the whole thing.
How silent it got at times. Like there were, especially late in the game, there was a couple moments where, I mean, you really could have heard a pin drop. I mean, for just dead silence, nervous silence.
Yeah.
At multiple times late in that game when you were waiting to see who was going to come up with a big hit. I mean, it got quiet on a couple of those. You could sense and feel how nervous the crowd was. And then there were moments, obviously, where the crowd did erupt. You know, there's some people critical of, people were critical at times on social media. So it's a small fraction of people, but on social media, that it wasn't loud enough. I'll just tell you, like, having been there yesterday, and you were there as well.
Seemed plenty loud.
When they only had one hit heading into the fifth, I mean, what was there to erupt about? But then once Massey's triple, of course, the place exploded at that point in time, and people thought Vinny had a hit there. You know, the crowd, I don't think anybody should be upset with how the crowd, quote unquote, performed last night. I thought the atmosphere was great when it was fitting, right?
We can talk more about it, but yeah, I definitely think it's probably being a little too overcritical. Today we do talk about, because it is an elimination game in the season.
Are you going to remember a song today?
I think so. You know what? I'll do a song live.
People are blaming you. Because
I forgot?
Yesterday in the 11 o'clock hour, I said, you know what? I said I was in a good mood. I said, you know what, Cody, why don't you pick one song from your catalog and play? You said, all right, sure, 1 o'clock hour. You never played it. You forgot. So people are upset. One song today, 1 o'clock hour.
Okay, let me see if I can. Oh, man, I got to. I'll do one live. Because I messed up yesterday.
You're singing live?
I'll do a song I haven't done live before. I'll find
it. You have a new song?
No, I'll do a song live. That's all.
Who do you think needs the song?
The team. It's a team song. I got to choose one of the ones that's more team-based.
Okay.
I mean, although Vinny does not have a hit in the series yet? We're back to Pasquantino live again? Maybe. All right, let me look at it in the break. I'll find a song for today. Later on in the show, we can do one. I will say, you have to unload the book. I loved it. And I was in the minority. I love that they brought in Brady Singer to try to face Aaron Judge to get one out. Aaron Judge hadn't seen Brady Singer that much. He did have a career average of 400 against him. But I'm sure they had some metric to support that, like, he was bad against two-seam fastballs or four-seam fastballs or whatever the hell the metric was. And Singer got the job done. He struck out Aaron Judge, who's having a horrific series for the New York Yankees so far. And while he hadn't even pitched in 13 days, they asked him to come in to face Aaron Judge with a runner on base late in the game in which it mattered the most, and he got the job done, which means tonight, you need Singer for one out again? Cool.
Sure.
You need Daniel Lynch for one out because there's two outs and there's a lefty on the mound. Bring him in. There is no reason to be anywhere near conservative with this bullpen. Matter of fact, if it's the sixth inning and it's bases loaded again like it was yesterday in the fifth, and there are two outs and it's Aaron Judge up to plate, bring in Urseg and let him pitch the sixth. And if his pitch counts low enough, let him pitch the seventh. The Royals haven't faced an elimination game in a very long time, and we've seen them bounce back from that in the playoffs, including that series against the Astros and, you know, back in the 14-15 run. Okay, then, I mean, it's kitchen sink time, right? Whatever it takes.
Same thing applies. Even if Michael Wacha has a rough go and it's only the fourth inning, you know, if it's the fourth even, I don't think you should be stunned like you normally would in a random game 150. If, in fact, they have a shorter lease, you can't let this thing get out of hand. You got to keep it within one run. You can't let it all of a sudden become a 3-4 run lead for the Yankees. And I think everything we've seen from Q in the series, there's no reason to believe that's not going to be the case.
No, he's going to the pin
tonight's
early.
Game. I don't know. Like, if you were to set an over under on game length, take the over. I mean, there's going to be,
can you bet on that?
There's going to be pitching changes more than we've seen in any of the other games. I mean, that applies for the Yankees too, because they also want to wrap it up tonight and not have to deal with a game five. So they will, you know, when there's an off day, they maybe not quite full kitchen sink, but they'll also be extremely aggressive with how they handle their pitchers tonight, because they of course want to wrap this thing up and be done. It's going to be intense. We'll take your calls a little bit later on in the show. 913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Want to hear from you guys. Just confidence check. We'll do that here in about 10 minutes or so. Confidence level that they can force a game five. If you want to look, was asking like, hey, why? What do you mean we can't be mad? Nobody's saying you can't be mad about the umps. I'm just telling you, me personally, I don't like blaming referees and umps for team failures. Everybody has the right to their own opinion.
I think Gold's mad at the umps. He's just not saying it's the difference between.
You're acting like I'm sitting here saying the umps have been great. Not what I'm saying at all. Fundamentally, I just, whether it's the NFL, whether it's baseball, I don't like going that route personally. You may. And that is your right. We'll take your calls. If you want to talk about it, we'll do that in the next segment as well. Last night, though, we were out at the K. Thanks to some of you that came by and said hello. You may have seen these risers if you were at the game in right field. That's basically called the media overflow seating. We were sitting over there. Dusty, Cody, and I were out there with other members of the media. And normally, if you're in the right field section, you know, behind the ADA seating, you can kind of stand, right? If you just go to a normal Royals game, because there was well over capacity crowd last night, over 40,000, so a ton of standing room only. But that area for the playoffs, you're not allowed to stand because there were media risers, so you're blocking the view of the media. I know some of you are going to be like, give me a break.
Wow,
I'm just telling
you. Know.
So what was funny about that was there was a security guard. What was his name again? Lewis?
Lewis.
Shout out to security guard Lewis. That man wasn't messing around. He was not messing around.
Stood on business.
There were folks standing up just to take a photo. It didn't matter if you were 80 years old or if you had a 5-year-old kid with you. That guy said, get off the line. The media is sitting behind here. They got to see. This dude was not messing around. Shout out to Lewis.
Honestly, my personal hero. And this is, again, not the fans' fault who want to stand there. They set a section for standing room only. Fans like to move around the stadium. Seems like a good place to stand. Can't blame them for thinking that. Lewis was ruthless. I'm not kidding. I watched him usher off a 3-year-old, an 80-year-old, a drunk guy, a group of women trying to take a birthday photo. He did not care what your business was in that area or for how long you were going to be there. Your ass had to move. Honestly, what was most impressive about it is I couldn't do it. I get worn out by the amount of times I had to tell people to leave. Lewis did it every 4 seconds for two consecutive hours.
I think
honestly,
he was worn out, Cody.
Yeah, because eventually.
Lewis
grabbed his water bottle. He looked like that Popeye's employee after they made those chicken sandwiches. Lewis had done his job. But then after the sixth inning, Lewis was gone and our guy Kenneth came in.
Kenneth was a nice guy.
Made it for an inning. Mm-hmm. He tried, man. He was working at it for about an inning. And then Kenneth stopped.
And then
Kenneth gave up. It was not a winning. He just started getting people chairs, man. He was pulling them out of concourses. He had given up. Kenneth had given up.
There was another gentleman wearing like a blue security guard shirt. I didn't get his name. And there was somebody sitting in the ADA seating that was wearing a Yankees shirt, and I swear it was Garrett Cole's brother. I mean, he looked just like Garrett Cole. It was Garrett Cole's brother. He was with
his
son.
He's wearing a Judge jersey, though.
Judge jersey, but he looked like Garrett Cole, who was just getting some early scouting in for his brother for tonight. And he had his kid next to him, and his, and presumably his wife. And there was some drunk, I don't know if it was a Royals fan, wearing like, what was, you, was it like a Nacho Libre type of...
yeah, he's wearing like a, yeah, like a Lucha Libre mask.
Lucha,
like a,
yeah, there you go. And he had Nacho Libre.
You're I right. mean, that same, yeah, same energy.
Same thing. Okay. And I don't know if he was like, he wasn't cursing at them, but he was cursing. And the Garrett Cole's looking brother guy basically went around like, hey, stop cursing in front of my son. Of course, the drunk guy didn't like that. I thought we were about to have a fight. Meanwhile, that security guy just stood there and watched the whole
time.
Dude,
he didn't do anything. His buddy had to drag him off. I thought we were going to have to get out of the media seats and be like, dude, just beat it. Uh-huh. He was just being drunk and belligerent to the guy in the Yankees jersey, but his little kid was there, and you're like, dude, just get your guy out of there. The old guy was like, I ain't getting in the middle of that. What? I'm trying to die tonight. Whatever it was, he was not getting.
I thought we were about to have a Yankee. I thought we were about to have a Yankee fan, Royal fan fight right in front of us. Fortunately, that did not happen.
What's your thing? Break up the fight or take video? What
Me?
Are you more likely
in my
to do?
Role? I'm not doing anything. I'm
what are you more likely to do? Take a video of it or break it up?
In that exact moment last night, video. You were going to come run down the four steps of the riser to go break it up. There was two security guards standing right there.
They weren't doing anything.
Yeah, so then
they're just hanging out.
Not in that capacity.
Are you going to break it up then, Cody?
I am more likely to be a person to break it up than to take a video. I'm an idiot. I told you, I once helped a guy get thrown off the bus because he was like acting belligerent.
It would have been great content. Cody tried to break up the fight. You catch a stray punch. Cody's glasses
punch.
Are broken. Blood streaking down his nose.
No,
that would have been
say,
a story for
you,
today.
If you catch a stray, then are you then involved in this?
That,
or are you?
That dude was hammered. No, I'm not. I'm not fighting him. I just want him out of there.
All right. Coming up next, though, we'll get a confidence check. We'll take your calls. 913-586-7965. How confident are you on the Royals getting it done tonight? We do have some math that unfortunately is not in their favor. That's coming up next here on Cody and Cole.
Thank you. We just got to play our game. That's about it. Come in. Know we can compete with these guys. Obviously, a lot of respect for what they do, even regardless of how they feel about that. We respect them quite a bit. So we know we can beat them. So, you know, we've proven it this series. We just got to go do it again. That's about it. You know, go try to win tomorrow and then see what happens on Saturday.
That was Vinny Pasquantino in the clubhouse last night after the Royals' Game 3 loss. Of course, Game 4 tonight, 7:08, first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 6 here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Vern's going to join us here in about 25 minutes or so. We'll check in as we have every day throughout this postseason ride, get his thoughts on. Yes, we'll talk about some of the decisions that were made not only by the Royals, but also by the umps in the game. We'll talk about the three guys in this lineup that have not hit. A lot to get into with Vernon. I want to hear from you guys on not only on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, but also on the hotline, 913-586-7965. One, kind of a confidence check tonight, because we know the history. 72% of teams who win game three go on to win a series. That, of course, applies to the New York Yankees here who won game three. So where's your confidence at? And I'm also like, if you were at the game last night, your perspective of the crowd, but also leaving the stadium, did you see this from a lot of people that I guess had issues getting out of Kauffman Stadium?
Which we is left surprising. Later, so it was hard for me to know. I left fairly easily. But.
Yeah, yeah. But we were well after the game. I was surprised knowing that, you know, we know leaving Chiefs games is a pain, but there's 75,000 people. There were 40,000 people for this one. So if you were someone out of Kauffman Stadium last night, give us a call, 913-586-7965. I'll ask you the same question, though. Like, where's your confidence? You said you think they're winning tonight.
Extend the series?
72% of teams who win last night basically go on to win the series.
I mean, that's obviously a pretty favorable stat for the teams that go up 2-1. So, I mean, I can't argue with the fact that history is certainly not on the Royals side. And there are a couple of other the Mets locked up part of that percentage yesterday, right? They were up 2-1 and then won the series. Detroit could lock up part of that percentage tonight against the Guardians in Detroit. So they certainly have a chance to continue that history. I am weirdly confident, maybe, that the Royals will at least extend the series. I'm not as sure about Saturday. I kind of want to see how the two teams again appear tonight, where the issues may lie for New York or may lie for the Royals tonight, whether they win or not. If they don't win, obviously, we don't matter for Saturday. But then when you go through it, I don't think they have the pitching advantage, but I do like the way that they saw Gerrit Cole in that first series. And the Royals had the definitive pitching advantage last night, and when we got through both starters, it was even. And that what was probably the most disappointing about it. I don't know. I'm like 7 out of 10 that the Royals are going to win the game tonight, advance, and then we'll all figure out a place to go watch filled with stress Saturday night as they have a game 5 against the Yankees.
I certainly hope that's the case. I certainly do for a variety of reasons. I'll say, you know, what you said about Gerrit Cole still is actually weirdly where I'm confident. I'm going to guess he's going to pitch better than he did on Saturday, but I just feel like the Royals got good looks off of him. And this has been a team that bounces back. I'll say this, though. It's interesting, you know, for tonight's game, and just if you're someone that we mentioned the numbers, the percentage to win the series, if you think the Royals are winning tonight, to me, you're better off, if you're someone that bets, you're better off betting the series price than you are just tonight. So sure. The Royals tonight are like plus 130-something underdogs. The series, they're 4-1 to win the series, which makes sense. I get it, right? They're down. And the series would go back to the Bronx. But if the Royals win tonight, the Royals will be dogs on Saturday, of course, but it'll be plus 140, plus 130. So I'm just saying, if you think they're winning tonight and you're already thinking about betting, you're better off betting the Royals to win the series pricing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
On that, just because of the value you would get at 4-1. I'm not guaranteeing a win tonight. I'm with you. I don't know if I'm as high at 7 or 8 as you are. I guess 50-50? No, 60-40 is kind of in favor of the Royals is kind of
so
how I
view
it.
So you think they're going to win, but you're not like...
I'll be honest, man. Like
overly confident.
I 4-for-37 with 2 walks and 13 strikeouts
can't hold
from
forever,
those guys.
Though, can it? I mean, well, if it does, they'll probably lose the series.
They've kept Aaron Judge down and it hasn't mattered. No. You know, do you believe tonight that they can win a game in which, once again, it's the bottom of the order, although I'll throw Michael Massey and I'm assuming he'll lead off again tonight. I'm assuming Tommy Pham will. I'm guessing Tommy Pham will be in the lineup based off his Gerrit Cole numbers against Gerrit Cole. I'm guessing you'll see him. It might take, you know, you don't like to lean into a game thinking it's going to have to be Tommy Pham, Yuli Gurriel, and Michael Garcia, but like that's what it's been this series. I think tonight it has to be somebody else in that 3 at the top of the order. We'll take your calls on this too. 913-586-7965. Let's see. I think we got John in South KC. You're up. You're on Cody and Gold.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
We're all right, man. How are you?
No, not too bad. It went last night after the game. We're going back tonight. A couple of my buddies. I'll tell you what. Last night, going in there, we had no problem. There was no line waiting to get in there at all for the tailgate stuff. And leaving, we got out there pretty quick. We did not have any problems leaving the game. That's what I guess some people I've seen on Twitter were talking about had a lot of problems. But I'll tell you what, guys, I have a lot of confidence in Cole Reagan Saturday at Yankee Stadium if we can just pull it off tonight. I think Bobby Witt can maybe get out of this little slump. He had that one little base hit last night. But I don't know about you guys, but we just really need him to pull through tonight. Just get through 6 innings. We can let our bullpen take over. They've been awesome all this entire stretch of the postseason. And if we can just get some, you know, get to the bullpen, you know, maybe Vinny can get out of the slump too. I don't know if it's his thumb still or whatever, but just believe. I believed in 2014, 2015, and we have no reason to stop believing now. Love to get your guys' take on that as well. Well, thanks for the call, guys.
Hey, thank you. John and KC, 913-586-7965.
I just want Waka to come out of the game with a lead.
Well,
I want him to exit the game when the team is still leading. That's what I need out of starting pitcher Michael Waka tonight. I'd ask for more for Lugo. I'd ask for more out of that than Reagan's. Leave the game tonight with a lead. I don't care if it's 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 3-2. Leave when you exit the game as the starting pitcher, because I assume him and Gerrit Cole will be looking at a similar time frame. Leave the game with the lead. He, in the entire month of September and in the one start he's made in October, has not allowed more than 3 earned runs. He's actually allowed two earned runs or less in every other start except one. So he's been very effective. Just be that again.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen throughout the series, though, like we have to view it differently in terms of innings out of these guys.
No, four or five tonight.
Walker could be pitching great, and they probably will still pull him in the fifth or sixth. Yeah, I just don't think.
I don't think he'll see the sixth inning.
No, I mean, I'm just saying if he was pitching great, like there was shutout baseball and
no hitter.
Well, that's okay. You know,
Lugo had no hitter through three innings, and he was still gone by the fifth, four or sixth.
But so I just think we have seen how they're going to handle the bullpen. Ursig did not pitch last night, so my guess he's absolutely available for six outs, if not more, tonight. Why not? So if it's the sixth inning. Would it stun you if Ursig pitches the sixth and the seventh inning? No, it shouldn't. Everything is in play tonight. It's also like not to be Debbie Downer here, but like for Walker too, man, there's a chance tonight could be his last game in a Royals uniform. I
mean, he has an opt out.
Go out there. He has an opt out. I'm guessing he'll. I'm not saying he doesn't want to be back here. I think he does, but financially, it makes sense for him to go and test the market. So this could be it in a Royals uniform for Michael Walker, who's been incredible. So obviously, I'm sure he wants to go out with an incredible performance that hopefully leads to him being able to pitch next week in an American League Championship Series. But they got to handle their business for starters, as we all know, tonight. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Josh. He's in Cedar Rapids. You're on Cody and Gold.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey, so I'm going back and forth. I'm at like a six. Something's got to give in this game. I know Cole was he wasn't bad. He was okay on Saturday. I don't know if we're going to touch him like they did on Saturday, but the top, like you said, the top of the order's got to do something. Something's got to give. Their bullpen was pretty bad. They haven't given up a run in the series, so if we can get to them, I think we'll be all right. But and I wanted to say one thing. Last time I called in, I kind of threw Drew under the bus with the Bengals, so I want to apologize and shout out Drew.
Wow, isn't that nice?
There you go, Josh.
Shout out to Josh, man.
How about that?
He felt bad, dude.
I appreciate you.
He probably got you in like a bad moment in the middle of that Bengals week when it was not going smooth for Drew.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, probably that post-bye week, you know, they were probably just making sure Drew was okay. That's nice of him.
I appreciate it.
You don't often get, normally it's the other way. Normally listeners just get even like, you know what? I don't think I said enough mean things.
I'm waiting for the text message to come in that says that exactly.
913-586-7965.
Somebody didn't need to.
Text line, a lot of people mentioning the stadium situation. Getting in and out of the stadium, they said, the issue was, I guess there was maybe not enough people directing traffic. It took them an hour with no one directing traffic in the parking lot. That's the only complaint they had of the entire night. Yeah, I saw that from a lot of people. As you said, by the time we left, the parking lot had cleared out. So I obviously can't speak directly to it, but it sounds like it was maybe a little bit of an issue. Hopefully that's something that gets corrected tonight. And also it helps if everybody's leaving happy tonight versus everybody being in a crappy mood to begin with after a loss. That also just changes your patience level with parking situation.
Yeah. You know, like jam into Vern, listen to whatever the hell you want on the way out of the parking lot if they get the win.
Look, the team loses and there's a little bit of traffic. I mean, that's just going to set you off. And I think that's probably what happened for some people last night too.
Little double combo, if you will.
Let's get one more call in. 913-586-7965. Bob in Midtown, you're on Cody and Gold.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking me. A couple of things I want to talk about. One, I'm pretty confident going into tonight. We handled Cole well enough before. I think we can get to him. Might take the second time through the order, but I'm confident. A couple of other things that I observed on the broadcast last night. One, Bob just like sitting there on the dugout railing. That was pretty stark to me. The other thing, the bunt that happened that allowed for a sacrifice fly and the what should have been a strike two call wasn't, and that kept the batter alive to go ahead and bunt. If we don't get calls like that, I think it's going to go better for us. But it's all about the umpire, I guess, when it comes to calls like that. All right, thanks, guys. I'll listen off the air.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I did go back and look at that one. What he's talking about, Gold, we were live in the game, so we couldn't see it. If you go back and watch that call, pitch two was a strike. I mean, just plain and simple, it was a strike. He would have been down then 0-2 instead of 1-1, giving the opportunity to bunt the guy over that eventually led to the sack fly. Early enough in the game, I can't imagine that I want to put it on the feet of that. But yeah, those are the ones that we talked about to start the show that certainly make a difference. Can I ask one question, though, to the audience? Because you and I were at the game last night. – We're going to cover the game again tonight on behalf of 96.5 The Fan, try to bring you some post-game stuff over on our social media channels, over on Twitter and Instagram at TheFan965. There were a lot of people complaining about Bob Costas. I did not get to listen to it. Will you guys let me know what the problem was? Let me know, 913-586-7965.
Yeah.
I'm asking specifically about the call of Bob Costas. There were two clips I heard played. One was Bob Costas reacting to a lazy fly ball by Aaron Judge, in which it sounds like he might have been pretty excited. The judge almost hit a home run on a weak fly ball, like, that ball's deep! Okay.
Take might out of your sentence. Yeah, you're right.
He's out. And then it sounded like he was practically gushing over some of the other moments. And it doesn't sound like he's very excited about the Yankees. Is homerism our complaint? Is it that he tells, like, soliloquies like they're long paintings? What was the issue with Bob Costas last night? Because if I just looked at my Twitter feed, umpires and Bob Costas were the only two things I was seeing.
The most common post that I saw from people, and I think that there's fairness in it, is Bob Costas might as well have been wearing a Yankees pin in his suit.
He did seem favorable towards him in the first two moments.
This is a playoff tradition with baseball in Kansas City. We all hated Joe Buck thing, back in 15, or 14, I guess it would have been. Sorry.
Right, then.
And so I guess it is very fitting. I wasn't watching the broadcast last night, obviously. My sense is, like, we all recognize Bob Costas is one of the all-time greats. I think everybody acknowledges that. I think the feel is just like, they don't like him on baseball right now. Like, just doesn't think it's a great call.
He only calls, like, 8 games a year, it seems.
But in general, of course, he's an all-time legend in the business. But I think that's the sense I got from a lot. There's some of the homerism, and then others, they just don't like his broadcast of baseball right now.
Okay. I was asking. I did not get to watch the game last night. I watched him in the first two games. I wasn't, like, blown away or anything. But it seemed like the complaints had hit, like, an all-time high last night.
I think you're right, though, Cody, in the fact that the way that he tells stories a lot. You know, he has the soliloquies where he goes on. And not that people get tired of it. It's just that his broadcast style is different than others that might get a little bit more enthusiastic, I guess, for a majority of situations.
Someone says they were not happy. They said, no, I did not need to see you guys on the video board at the end of the game on Crowd Vision. They used a different word. Hey, that was pre-planned. Sorry. That was pre-planned. Yes, probably not the message.
I didn't know that was going to play.
Probably not the message you wanted right after the loss. It was something that gets played at the end of every Royals game. We weren't sure they were going to play that last night, and they did. So, yeah. You'll like it if they win tonight, though.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. It's just a mood-based thing. That's all. I was honestly asking. I wasn't trying to, like, start a fight over Bob Costas. I didn't get to listen to the game. It just seemed like people were particularly offended by his Yankee homerism in the call or something.
In fairness, I think Darling has been really good, actually. I think in terms of what he's brought to the table as the analyst, I thought he's been really good. But that might just be me, too.
I guess they're also upset because of the Harold Kuntz had sent me the call, and I'd seen that one too. On the Vinny one that got snagged, he went, line drive, center field, out, caught. Was it caught? And then Ron Darling was like, yeah, it was caught. He's like, oh, all right.
Okay. Someone said they'd rather listen to Gus Johnson call a baseball game than Bob Costas.
Could you imagine Gus Johnson baseball?
Oh, it would be insane.
It might be a little much. Might be a little much.
Fly ball, deep left. If
the ball actually goes over the fence, it'd probably be pretty epic. For every ball hits in the warning track, you'd be like, Gus, rein it in, my guy. Rein it in.
Yeah, I still think people disagree with me clearly because of the text line. I still think this is what happens when you're upset, your team loses, and, like, you're just, again, you're everything sucks. You know, it's like everything, the team lost, they're on the brink of elimination, and everybody's like, you know what, the parking lot stunk, the broadcast stunk.
The umpires stink.
The ump stink.
My hot dog was cold.
The hot dog was a little soggy, the bun. Like, everything sucks when you lose. I get it. We're all fans. We've all been there. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, like, this is what this all sounds like. They win tonight. Suddenly, the parking lot wait. You know what? It was that hour. It only felt like 20 minutes, even though it was an hour. That hot dog was the best hot dog I've ever had at Kauffman Stadium when they're up 7-0.
The TBS camera angle sucked. Now, apparently, that was true. Again, I could. Did you think that ball was fair or foul? Did you go back and watch the replay again? We were looking at it at the game. I can't tell.
You were very confident fair. In the moment that it was fair. You're like, see
I thought it hit some. It was more dusty. Yeah. I thought maybe some chalk kicked up.
My stance on it was that I didn't think they could overturn it. To me, you couldn't tell enough to overturn the original call, which was a foul ball. And basically, that's what they did, right? It was the call stood. It wasn't the call is confirmed. I believe the wording they used was the call stood.
Stands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did say that. So same as the Jazz call, except for, you know, one team still won the game and the other one lost. And also it was later in the game versus earlier in the game. And because of the way baseball rules worked, the next guy got out and that guy wouldn't even have, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The point is that it, you know, umpiring has been not great
yeah.
in this game. But that guy was standing 20 feet from the ball. Who am I to say that he knows better whether or not it was fair or not?
I don't want to, you know, keep beating the horse of the replay thing, but wasn't there another game? It might have, I don't know if it was the Guardians-Tigers game, but there was another game that had a replay controversy. I believe, I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was on a Tuesday.
Always, man.
But I believe there was
always
another...
Always some replay controversy.
There was another replay issue
always
in a different game.
Baseball's, yeah. Their replay stinks. They should just get rid of it. It is the worst in all of major professional sports. VAR is better. I know soccer fans hate it too. VAR is way better.
VAR
that's
stinks.
Terrible.
It
yeah,
stinks.
So that's awful.
You could be offside by a toenail, and the goal doesn't count.
Fine, you're off. I mean, what do you say? It's a rule. You're offsides. What can I say? I was told that if you're tagged before your foot's on the bag in baseball, you're also out. Yeah. But that didn't matter in their replay system. You're technically over the line. So I don't know what to tell you, guy who's over by a toenail.
They need to have lasers.
Obviously, tennis
going
is
down the baseline.
Can we agree that at least tennis is the best? Of all replay systems.
Yeah, you see Rafa retired today.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, 22 Grand Slams, he's done.
Man, when he lost at Roland Garros in the Olympics on clay, that's when you probably should have known. That stinks.
Didn't he smoke by Alcaraz? That was like a passing of the torch almost.
Yeah, he got cooked.
Him and Roger Federer now? Andy Murray's gone?
Too bad. I almost said RIP. He didn't die.
He retired. He retired.
I was like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not RIP. Mm-hmm. That's what you'd say if someone died. He didn't die. His career died today. But he'll go down as one of the single greatest.
All right.
He'll go down as one of the single greatest tennis players of all time.
All right. Up next, we welcome in our Royals insider, Josh Furner. Get his perspective on what we saw last night, including some of the issues that obviously a lot of people had with the game. And what's his confidence level? The Royals can send this thing back to the Bronx on Saturday.